Shus of Ashiner, I understand it gets a Mazel Tov. Baruch Hashem this week, Mazel Tov. Shus Maron Ravon Ravosai, Kalakola Kodesh Hazeh. There's the sheets of Mar Makomos being passed around, so hopefully everyone has it. If you find it helpful, you can follow along. It's not necessary, but some people enjoy learning that way, especially nowadays. Before delving into the question of whether or not the authentic Techeles, spoken about in Pesukim in Tanakh and spoken about by Chazal, has in fact been quote-unquote rediscovered in recent times, and whether or not the so-called Murex snail, which you'll hear about Bez Hashem from others later on in this morning's presentation, is in fact the Chalazon of which Chazal speak as the source for authentic Techeles. Before examining those issues, I think it's worthwhile to explore in general what Chazal have to say about Techeles and about the source of Techeles by looking at the traditional Makaras, the regular sources that Chazal have in Gemaras and Midrashim and so on and so forth, and trying to understand what exactly is Techeles, what color is it supposed to be, where does it come from, what creatures it come from, what do we know about, what Chazal tell us about this particular creature, when and why did Klal Yisrael stop using Techeles, and whether or not, as some believe today, we should again begin using Techeles. People both here in Eretz Yisrael, including prominent Talmid Chacham and Bealei Torah, who have endorsed this, and others who don't, others who disagree. So we'll try and have kind of a general overview. If you don't have the Mar Makomos, maybe we'll leave some up here, maybe some people just came in. So Techeles is most famous to us from the Psukim in Parsha Shlach, in the first source, Bamidbar Perek Tes Vav, Psukim Lamed Zayin Lamed Ches, which we know, of course, from the third Parsha of Kriya Shema. The Torah tells us, Amar Hashem Moshe L'Emor, Da'aveir B'nei Yisrael, Ha'atzor L'Hem V'asul L'Hem Tzitzis, Al-Kan Tzor L'Hem V'asul L'Hem V'asul L'Hem Tzitzis, Ha'konav, Pesil Techeles. The Torah tells us that we put on tzitzis, arba kantos, so we're required to tie certain strings, and we have to have a corner with tcheles. The Torah doesn't say any more than that, just uses the word psil tcheles. So Rashi tells us in the second source again, the Midbar Perek Tesvah, Pasuk Lam Ches, tcheles says Rashi, tseva yarok, shel chelozon. Tseva yarok, in modern Hebrew, yarok is green, and we can assume for the moment that that's what Rashi means as well. It has a greenish color, and it comes from something called the chelozon. That's all Rashi tells us over there in Parshas Shlach. But that's not the first time in the Chumash that Techeles is mentioned. In fact, I think it's the last time in Chumash Techeles is mentioned. Techeles is also mentioned, as in the next source, in the beginning of Parshas Truma, Shmos Perakal Peip, so can Gimel and Dalet, Techeles is mentioned as a certain, as one of the number of gifts that were requested of Klal Yisrael, of Bnei Yisrael and the Midbar at the time when they were preparing to build the Mishkan. So Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed to tell the people to donate different things that they had. They were told to give gold and silver and copper. And then Pasuk Dalet of Shmos Parakafei, Uscheles, Argomra, Salah, Shami, Beshesh, Ezim, etc. So various different things Klal Yisrael was asked to contribute for the building of the Mishkan and the various accoutrements of the Mishkan. So one of those things that Techeles there, Rashi gives a little bit more information in Parshas Truma, the fourth source, Parakafei, Shmos Pasuk Dalet, Uscheles, Tsemer, So here Rashi tells us it's wool. The other Rashi tells us the color, but it doesn't say what material it is. So here in Parshas Truma, Rashi tells us that Techeles is wool, tzemer, which has been dyed in the dam, the blood or liquid from inside this creature called chalazon. Rashi again says tzvo yoro. The color is a greenish type of color. Rashi sticks his guns, and says she talks so in a couple of places in the Gemara as well, in the beginning of Brachos, on Daf Testament Beis, when the Mishnah describes what time we call Misha Yakir, how early it is in the morning, we're allowed to say Kriya Shema. You have to distinguish between different things, a number of different opinions in that Gemara. So one of them is that you have to be able to tell between Techeles and Karsi, okay, two different colors. So Rashi writes in Brachas Daf Testament Beis, in the fifth source, Techeles Yoroku, Vikoro Litzeva Karsi, Shakorin Kurish. It's close to the color Karsi. Karsi means a leak. We know from the Simonim on Rosh Hashanah, right? The Karsi is a leak. A leak is green. that the color, the tchelet, is close to green, and that's why when the Mishnah says you have to know what time it is that we can say Kriyat Shema in the morning, so it has to be light enough to be able to distinguish between these two colors, which are pretty similar. So again, Rashi is saying again it's similar to green of Karsi. Rashi later in Brachas Nun Zayin and Beis Sur 6, Rashi said tchelet, again he says Yoroku, it means green, although there he says Umisha Ponav Yorokim Cholahu, somebody's got a green face is sick. It doesn't literally mean green there, but we speak in English also, we say somebody looks green, you know, not feeling well, somebody's sick or something, so his appearance looks unusual. So that already hints that perhaps Yorok means something a little bit different than actually what we would call pure green, because we don't say that somebody looks green. So Yorok is a certain type of color, but it's close at least to the color of a leek, according to that Mishnah, where Rashi learns in Brachas. Ibn Ezra, there in Parshas Truma, in the next source, he has two different opinions. He quotes, Ibn Ezra quotes scholars, grammarians, that's in Shlosh Perk Chafei Pasuk Dalet, source 7, Uscheles, Omer Yefesh, Shehu B'dmus, Shacharus. Shacharus means dark. Shachor, dark. It's a darker color. And it's a combination of all the colors. Black somehow is understood to be a combination of all the colors. Kitafas kolatz wine. But at the end, Ibn Ezra says, but the Anu Nismo, we're going to rely on Chazal, on the opinion of the Rabbi Sanders of Hanarocha, Sha'amru Shehu Yorok, the Heat Temer. So Ibn Ezra also says, like Rashi, that it's a greenish color. He has the first opinion that's darker, but then he says, we're going to rely on Chazal, let's say it's a greenish type of color. However, right, that's the Gemara.
That means only yellow.
Oh, but
that's why when
it says
by
we'll get to the second. Good. So, right, Yorok is about to try and explain. Yorok doesn't necessarily mean green in the sense that we have green today. There are a number of different sources. You mentioned some from the Zohar, the Tosus, and the next source, Tosus Mida. So, if your testament base, the source is number 8, the Gemara there talks about the Yorok, and it says, Hi Yorok, Tosti Vamasko, Hi Yorok, Akarim Haalam. The Tamei, as it did in the Hilchos Nida. So the Tosus says there, your testament based in Nida. It says, Hi Yorok, Hainaka Esrik. Yorok in this sense means like an Esrik. It's a yellower type of color. The low Yorok Kikarsi, as opposed to green like a leek. There's two different types of Yorok. The Ain Zer, note the Lagnumus, Ustam Yorok Kainu. Ordinarily, Yorok means sort of a different color, not Yorok Kikarsi. Ordinarily, Yorok means more of a yellower color. Kedom Galula Gozo, the Gemara you refer to, Tosa says, Yorok Kikarsi, because Gemara used the expression Yorok Kikarsi, so that means it's Stam Yorok without the modification like Karsi. It means it's a different color, a yellower type of color. Yeah, well, we'll get to it. There's a shame. There's a Rashi, another Rashi that in Gittin, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. Again, I'm just trying to give an overview of the sources. Gittin Lamed Aleph and Beis, source 9, Sarbel Lekarsi, Tseva Tchelas Dome Lekarsi. Here he says that Tchelas is similar to Karsi. And again, Rashi seems to be insisting that it's a greener type of color. Even though we have that Tosas, or that Zohar you mentioned, that the different color of Rashi seems pretty consistent that it's got a greenish color. Maybe it's a greenish blue, aqua. But anyway, Rashi seems to say that it's green. Rashi didn't fabricate this himself, obviously. There is a Yerushalmi. In source number 10, Yerushalmi in Brachas Parak Aleph Halacha Beis, Yerushalmi there speaks about Tcheles, and Yerushalmi has a well-known marshal, but a little different than most of us know it, because it doesn't feel like that in the Bavli. The Yerushalmi says, Tanah Yerushalmi, Meir, Risam Oso, Ein Tziv Kan, El Risam Oso, like the Pasuk in the third Pasuk, Krishna says, Risam Oso. We're talking about Tcheles, or Tzitzis, that Losh and Mekeva should say Risam Oso. You see it, right, and with Oso, Losh and Mekeva, what if it's Risam Oso? So that's how the Prey Moshe in source 11 explains the reason why so ain't Tzidkan to have a mashal the koil osa mitzvah is referred to the mitzvah say osa. So not means that Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, himself. Magid back in Yerushalmi, Magid shekol mekayim it's a tzitzik even a kabel pnei shchina. Anybody who fulfills the mitzvah, tzitzik like mekabel pnei shchina. Magid shatcheles dom al yam, the treles looks like the color of the sea. V'hayam dom al asovim. Yam looks like grass. And we speak also about the green sea. Depends on where you are, I guess, how sunny it is outside and so on. But the ocean or the seas are sometimes described as the green seas. So Yam domal asovin. Asovin domal rakia. Grass is similar to the color of the sky a little bit. But rakia domal kisa covered. The rakia looks like, or reminds us of the kisa covered. Rakisa domal sapir. Now sapir is sapphire, which is blue. Okay, sapphire is a blue gesiv, psukim yecheska, and so on. So, seeing the tzitzis reminds us one thing or another, reminds us of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the reason, so that's the Yerushalmi. But since the Yerushalmi brings up asovim, which are green, so that's probably what prompted Rashi in these several sources that we saw to say that Tchelas is wool that's dyed in a greenish type of color because of that Yerushalmi. Now, full disclosure, the Gaon Gaon there on that Yerushalmi in Brachas knocks out, he corrects the text, he knocks out the Domel Asovim part. Okay, it could be that only Gaon disagreed. He said it's not, he knocks that out. Mok, you know, Gaon Mok exists. The Gaon knocks it out over there. They don't have the sheets because it doesn't exist in the computer. The Pagos are Gaon. It's not yet, but I couldn't find it. But anyway, if you look at the Yerushalmi on that page in Brochus, he knocks out Asom. However, to be fair, it's not just in the Yerushalmi, because it also has Medrash in the next source, source number 12. Medrash in Bamidbar, Rabba, and Parshas Naso, Parshas Yudal, and Simon Gimel. There, the Medrash also has a little bit of a different presentation, but a similar idea. Why of all colors would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us a mitzvah to put this particular color on tzitzis? Why of the many beautiful colors, why this color? So the Medrash says, also has in that Medrash also a comparison to great. It's just the order of them. Then Asavim, Domal Yam, Yam, Domal and so on. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us, so to speak, from his cover. That's why he wants us to wear something that represents his cover. That's how the Medrash says. Cholak L'Reyach Chela Shumayin Kodo, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gave us this chus. To be able, because Rahul gave us a schus to be able to wear something which represents him. That's the idea. But I'm just pointing out that despite the fact that the Gaon knocks out, it could be in the Medrash, the Gaon also takes out that phrase. I don't know, but that's the idea in terms of green. There's an important Tosus in Sukkah, a gentleman they referred to it before. Sukkah Dav Lamed Aleph and Beis, talking about the Esur, and I mentioned before about Yoro Kikarsi. So Tosus in Sukkah Lamed Aleph and Beis says Yoro Kikarsi Mashma Shemar Ehu Kitzava Shekarin Virid Belaz. Verdi, I think, in Italian, it's not green. No, that's green, right? As a matter of fact, if you look, again, you don't have it here, but if you open up Sukkah, that Lamed Aleph Mabez, so I think in the standard Vilna Shas, there's an asterisk on the side. Whenever you have, a lot of times you have words in French or whatever else the Rishonim are quoting, that somebody put in more recent times the Yiddish, Roshanach in Yiddish, and that word, Virid Belaz, on the side it says, in most regular editions of the Shas, it says, Roshanach are green. Right, so they're telling you that means green. Okay? It's printed right on the page here in Sukkah. However, that's this Gemara in Sukkah, Yorah Kekarsi means green. However, the Gemara in Brochus, and as we mentioned before, so there it sounds like it's a bluish color. If you look on the third line, it says, Ke'ain Seva Shekarin Irinda Belaz. And there on the side of the page, in the regular editions of the Bavli Shas, on the side of that Tosus, there's an asterisk and it says Irinda. It says Beloshan Acher Beis Lamed Vav Yud Aleph Blue. Written on the page in the Sefer Sukkah, in the regular edition, Beis Lamed Vav Yud Aleph Blue. In Yiddish, blue. So there it means blue. And then he quotes the other source he mentioned before about the yellow. That's the other Yarok at the end of that passage in Tosus. Look at the last few words. Kain Seva Yalad Belaz. Yellow. And the side again it says in Yiddish Gelb, which is yellow. So you have already different colors which are represented here, and Tosus seems to say for sure that when the Mishnah in Brachos speaks about Mashiach and Chelas, okay, so Chelas is whatever Inda is, and it says on the side of the page blue. So that's already pointed about Tosus, it seems to be blue. If we look carefully in our Bavli, I mentioned Rishon before, and in Bedrash has a comparison to Gris, but that comparison to Gris is not found in the Bavli. Look at the 14th source, Chulin Daf Pei Testament Aleph. There the Gemara quotes that same Joshua, the Tanya of Meir Omer, Manishtana Tchelas Mikol HaTzivonim. How is Tchelas any different? As Rashi says in 15, Manishtana Tchelas Shizkikusa Torah L'Tzitzit, Torah demanded we put that on Tzitzit. So again, same Joshua basically, Mishnah Tchelas Dom Liyam, Liyam Dom Rekir, Rekir Dom Levin Sapir, Levin Sapir Dom Lekis. So the Gemara has in our Gemara in the Chulin in the Bavli has the same drasha without the grass part of the equation. And again, the ocean certainly is a blue. We look at the, you know, people go to Florida, other places we have bright sunshine. So one of the things they tell them to come back, oh, the water was so blue. Around here we don't look at the water sometimes as blue. I mean, of course, the Hudson River, I'm thinking blue is the color that strikes you. But when you go to the, you know, the, I don't know, the Florida, the Caribbean, someplace, California, you see the blue and people remark how blue the water is. Well, that's normally, yeah. And that's similar to the color of the sky. And again, it reminds us of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Indirectly. Rashi the Chulin, the next source, says Chelas Domo Yam, Shachilozan Min Hayam. He adds an important point. The Chilozan, the creature which produces Chelas, as we'll see, comes also from the Yam. It's not just the color. And then it says, Biola Achas Hashim Mishan comes out once every 70 years, which is a different problem. Umar is Domo Domo Yam. The liquid, the dam, the blood inside, we'll see later, doesn't exactly mean blood in terms of lifeblood, but the liquid inside, Mari Domo Domo Yam. It's similar to the color of the Yam. The Yam on a Rome, Shadomarkim. We see the ocean is similar to the color of the sky, and the sky is a sapphire, again, sapphire, which is blue. And what color is this? It says Rashi, Who ke'etzem hashamayim? It's like the shining etzem hayom hazeh, the middle of the day, but bright sky color. That's what Rashi seems to say in explaining that gemara in Chulin, despite his earlier insistence on green. There's another Rashi in Sota, Yitzhanam and Aleph, in the next source, where the gemara in Sota quotes that same Joshua for a mayor. So again, Rashi says, yeah, v'dil maso shatchela 16, the bottle on Dana shakal makayim, it says, titzis kila hitba peishchim, like we explained before, anybody who fulfills the mitzvah titzis, like we makabo peishchina. And again, because we don't really find a direct connection between Rakia and Akisa Yaakovit, so this, it was the whole, Rashi's explaining over here why you have this whole step by step, right? Tchela, don't yam, yam, don't Rakia, Rakia, don't Akisa Yaakovit. It's all a step of getting, so to speak, to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, because we don't have a direct connection, so we have an indirect connection. Tchela, and Rashi towards the end there, so the Zahm al-Aleph, in 16, towards the end of the second line, says, Tchela, lo doma l'Rakia kolkach. That's Rashi l'shita, so it doesn't exactly, according to his definition of Tchela, that had a greener color, it doesn't exactly look so much like the sky. Okay, but rather it says, Eladome, Eladome. It's similar. It's a similar type of color. A little bit similar. It doesn't mean literally, a literal, not similar shade, but
not dark,
rather similar, greenish color. That's what Rashi seems to say. Say it again? Right. Correct. But that's what Rashi's telling. It's not exact. The comparison is not exact. Yeah, right. That's a question. The different Gemaras, as we saw, the Kleyoka in Parsha Shlach and the Parsha Tzitzis, the Nimrah Pezor, possibly Amches, or 17. He also, Kleyoka as Asula and Tzitzis, and so on. He said this whole Chazal, it's in a few places. We saw it in Sota, it's in Chul, it's in the Nafas, this whole idea of Tcheilas Dom Liyam. The Kleyoka writes, Perusho Shetzvorim Eilu B'Doma L'Doma. Again, it's not exactly, it's not an identical kind of replication. Doma L'Doma, it's similar, it has its reminiscence, so to speak. As the Kleyoka writes, Kolecha Nota B'Tzimoy Ala Doma Lo. This is a little bit similar to that, and that's a little similar to this, that's a little similar to that. Eventually, it gets, it's kind of an indirect type of comparison. The Medrash, in source 18, the Medrash in the Midbar Rabbah, Parsha Dalet, I mean, the Gimel seems to say it's a little bit more of a direct, comparison, right? The Medrash writes, that's another source, another thing for Tchelis. I mentioned before, Tchelis was collected for the building of the Mishkan. So it really had three different roles in the Mishkan. First of all, some of the curtains and the tapestries in the Mishkan were made with Tchelis. Lulaos Tchelis, loops and so on, different things in the Mishkan. You look in Parashas Truma and Tetzaveh and Vayakov and Pekudes, you see certain curtains and tapestries in the Mishkan had Tchelis in it. Also, several of the big day kahuna had Tchelis in it. Right? We know that the Choshen and the Ephod and the Eel and the Avnate of the Kohen Gadol had Tchelis. I've never come ahead of my focus with that Tchelis, and not a topic right now, but many of the big day kahuna, several of the big day kahuna had Tchelis in it, and also that's what this Medrash is referring to, the end of Parshas Bamidbar. The Medrash is telling us, the Torah tells us that when they packed up the Mishkan for traveling purposes, right, they would have to put everything away. So you have to move the Mizbeach, you have to move the Aron, you have to move the Menorah. So the Sukkim described the end of Parshas Bamidbar, everything was wrapped up, and they were wrapped in various different curtains, various different blankets, I guess would be a good English word, I'm not sure, were wrapped in different coverings, and among the coverings are Tchelis. But the Medrash notes that by the Aron, the wrapping was the Tchelis was in a different place, was it inside instead of outside. Again, the details aren't important right now, but that's what the Medrash is commenting on. When they traveled, they didn't put anything on it, just Tchelis. And a beggar clil to Tchelis. Why? Because Tchelis is like the whole derivation, the same derivation. And the third line of source 18, it says Shakula Domilo. That implies that it's more Doma than Doma the Doma. It's more similar, it's more authentic, more similar really to the color of the sky pack. And not like we've been saying till now, this Medrash in the Midrash is saying Shakula Domilo. And that's why by the other Kalim they had Tchelis on the top and so on and so forth. So I just want to mention an interesting thing, because the Pashtus is from this Medrash and really from the other sources that Tchelis is probably a bluer color than this green, Rashi's interpretation and even Ezra's interpretation notwithstanding. The fact is, though, and I'm not sure, but later on there'll be the demonstration, you know, for the dying. I'm not sure if you'll see all of that, but having seen it a number of times myself, the fact is when they die with this particular dye that they're using now, and I've seen it, and the taka turns green for a while as part of the process of the exposure and so on and so forth. When you mix the colors in, you put it into the wool, so the taka green for a while before it turns blue. I'm just making that point.
You can dye green definitely also.
For sure, with the same thing, right? You need to stop at a certain point, but on the way to getting blue, it's green. So maybe.
If you put it more time in the sun, it becomes green.
I thought it becomes purple. Okay, so the expert will speak more about that later. But whatever it is green. It has a green possibility as well. In any event, but as I said, we're about to see more that we showed him seem to say it's certainly closer to blue than it is to green. So, for example, in the next source, in source 19, Rashi himself, at the end of Parsha Shlach, Rashi himself quotes Rav Moshe Darshan. Some of you might remember at the end of Parsha Shlach, Rashi reviews several of the Psukim Parsha Tzitzis with drushes. So at the end of there, in the Midbar, Parak Tesor, Pasuk Mem Aleph, the word Psil Techeles, so it has a drush of Rav Moshe Darshan, Al Shem Shikul Bechoros, the word Shetakum, Shikul Tichlo, Cheles, the play on words, it refers to Shikul. Shikul means like Kasher Shacholti, Shacholti, a bereavement. Right, then it refers to the bereavement of Bechoros, Makas Bechoros. Right, because we know that the Parsha of Tzitzis ends with Ani Yeshem Alchechma, Sharet Seisis, and Eretz Mitzrayim. There's a reference to Eretz Mitzrayim, to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that's Makas Bechoros. So the Rashi there says, from the Moshe HaDarshan, U'makosam hoysa b'layla, since the Makas Bechoros was at night, V'chein tzeva ha-tcheles doma l'tzeva rakia, ha-mashfil eis erev. When you talk about tcheles being the color of the sky, yeah, the color of the sky at what time? The sky is different colors, different times. So the sky at midnight is different than it is during at noon. So this Moshe Darshan, the Rashi quotes in the end of Shlach, is saying that Tcheles is similar to the color of the sky as it gets dark towards evening. So the darker blue. So says the Moshe Darshan. It's a blue, but it's a darker kind of blue. The Radak in the Sefer HaShoroshim in Exodus 20 defines Tcheles still Tcheles. He says, Hu Ha'ayim Shekarlo Blev, Blaz Blav. It's a Blav, and in parentheses and brackets, Azuro, that's Azur, which is a blue color, and Ultramarine. Right? Unless you put that into the dock, not the dock, whatever it is, explaining that's the color. It's Azur, which is a sky blue type of color, or Ultramarine, again, a deep blue color. So here we show already saying that the color is blue. Similar to Chizkuni in Parshas Mishpatim. And Perikhav Dalvish most possible good. Kemaisa Lignas HaSapir. He says, Yesh Sapir Shachor, Vizeh Sapir Kevon, who came Tcheles Blue Belaz. Right? The Sapir is sapphire. Right? That's the Pasuk Chumash. So it says it's blue Belaz. And he says later, Umal Ekta Mashayim Latoh, Umar Ashamayim Kishen Zachim Utahor Manan. Not like today. Today you don't see too much blue in the sky. We walk outside right now. But maybe that's the saw. But here it's pretty dark today. But the Chizkuni is saying, well, it's a bright sky, no clouds. Right, a clear blue sky. Clearly, there are different shades of blue. Okay, that's how Ben Abachai writes also in Parshas Tzavet by the Ephod, Shmos Parakov Pes Posakir, Vosu, it's the Ephod, Hatcheles, who Atzem Atzavuk, Etzem HaShemayim. So it seems that most of the Rishonim and most of the sources indicate pretty clearly that it's, again, the Rashi notwithstanding, that it's really a blue color. It's a question of which shade of blue. I had occasion this past summer, I went with my wife to visit the museum downtown New York City, the 9/11, September 11th Memorial Museum. Very fascinating museum, just I spent a lot of time reading a lot of things, very, very fascinating, from a number of different perspectives. But I think what a lot of people who were, you know, adults at that time will remember that September 11th, a lot of people commented, it was such a bright blue sky. I remember, it was a blue day. Everyone remembers the people who were there, especially. There was a blue sky. So they had, at the very end of the museum, you know, on the way out, they had like, towards the way out, they had this gigantic mural with, I think, I don't know, several hundred squares. They asked people, I guess, people who were there, I'm not exactly sure anymore, they asked people to describe or paint what color the sky looked like that day. And it's a fascinating mural. There must be at least more than 200 different squares. There's so many different shades of blue. The people have slightly different recollection. We're all different. We see things differently. But in any event, there obviously are different shades of blue. And therefore, obviously, it seems that Chazal is telling us that Tcheles is certainly one of those shades of blue. A very important Gemara also appears in the next source in 23, Gemara of Matthias, Da Samach Aleph Mebeis. I mentioned before that the Parsha of Tcheles, the third Parsha of Tzitzis, ends by mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Gemara wonders why here of all mitzvahs, the Gemara has three cases right there. There are others where the Torah mentions, Ani Yeshem Alechem Hashem Tzitzis Tzitzis, and it says it by ribbons, it says it by having mishkolos, by having proper weights and measurements. It always says, Ani Yeshem, I took you out of Mitzrayim. So the Gemara wonders about Matthias Samach Aleph Beis, why does the Torah have to bring up? We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzrayim. Why dafke by these three particular mitzvahs? And there are others, but the Gemara there is dealing with that, those three, right, and that's the passage. Why here do we suddenly find an Yishon HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take this time Eretz Mitzrayim? Why is that brought up here? So in each case, the Gemara gives the answer. With regards to Tzitzis, the Gemara says that just like I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was able to distinguish and figure out who exactly is the Bechor in Mitzrayim and who's not, I was able to tell. Like sometimes you have in a household there can be more than one Bechor. Bechor, because you could have different fathers, different mothers, sometimes you have a house that has no Bechor. So we know when the Kadosh Baruch Hu delivered Makas Bechoras, it didn't matter, he knew who's a Bechor and who's not. So the Gemara says, just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I know who is a Bechor and who's not, I also know who's playing tricks. And what's the trick? It says, Mishatola Kala Ilam Bibigdol Gomet Chelesu. What is Kala Ilan? Kala Ilan is a plant, which we'll see in a second, which produces a color that's similar to Tcheles, but it's not Tcheles. So the Gemara says someone tries to fake around and puts on Kala Ilan on his garments instead of Tcheles and tries to fool people. And the average person, as we'll see in a second, can't tell the difference, because Baruch Hu says, I can tell the difference. I know who's putting on Tcheles, who's not, and therefore don't try and get away with it. That's the idea. Rashi explains in the next source 24, where we see a Samachalim base, Kala Ilan Tseva Hadome with Tcheles. It's a color that's similar to Tcheles, but the problem is Tcheles, as we'll see in a second, Tcheles Doma Vikarin. Tcheles is very expensive, because it comes to this creature that's not easily accessible. Rashi says it comes out every 70 years, some say every 7 years, whatever exactly that means, but it's not easily accessible. And Kala Ilan is easily accessible. The only thing is, it's not kosher, because it's not Tcheles. The Muke Yosef, Dan Bab Metziah, source 25, in Lama Dara, off the page of the written, Bab Metziah, says Kala Ilan, also says Tela Doma Tcheles. Look at the last line. He says, Ilan Indi Vila, is a Chen Kirish Barak, but I was Indiki, that's indigo. Indigo, which is a blue color. Indigo is blue. So apparently this color, Elon, color Elon is a plant, as the name Elon suggests. So a plant derivative produces a color that's very, very similar, that actually the average person can't tell the difference. So now we see from this Gemara that Tcheles looks like indigo. Otherwise, what do you mean a color of indigo? I can tell the difference. You can't tell. What do you mean? Everyone can tell. Apparently not. Apparently it's not easily distinguishable. Now the idea is that the plant indigo is much more accessible and therefore cheaper. So you would have unscrupulous people who would sell Tcheles, really it was indigo, from a plant, and the buyer didn't know the difference, he puts it on, and he's not fulfilling the mitzvah properly. Because Baruch Hu said, I can tell the difference. We'll see later, there's another way to tell the difference, because indigo fades. It's not as fast a color. The Tcheles stays. It's a fair color fest. It doesn't fade with the washing and detergent and so on and so forth, and indigo does. The problem was, if a person would sell Tcheles, would come through town selling Tcheles, I got cheap Tcheles, meanwhile it's an indigo, and by the time it faded on Yotzit, that guy was long out of town. Right, he left it, he's not going to get money back. So that's what the Mukiosa says, another raya that it's a bluish color, because the Gemara seems to say, again, how does Rashi work all that out? So that's someone to figure out if you want this, but most of the Rishonim are saying that Chelis is an indigo or blue, a certain blue type of color. The Rambam himself writes, Halacha in source 26, Parak Beis, Lichus Tisla, Halacha, Chelis, Amor, Betar, Bechol, Mokram, Hu Atzemer, Atzavua, Kipisuch, Shebekachol. It's a lighter shade of blue, we call sky blue. As Rashi says, Rambam says, "He dwus rakia, here's the ayin le'ena shemesh b'tiharo sharakia." The brightness of the sky. That's blue. Sky blue, we say that. That's a sky blue color. A little bit variegated or a lighter type of blue. That's the Rambam says in Hilchos Tzitzis. Similarly, in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, I mentioned before that the Tcheles is relevant to the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan as well. Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Parakas Malachim Gimel, Tcheles Hamu B'chol Mokum, Atzemer Atzavua Ke'etzem HaShamayim. Like the sky in its brightest point. Sky blue, we call that more or less in English. Now the fact is, again, full disclosure, the Rambam a little later in Parak Beis Hilchos Tis Halacha Ches, the Rambam says, talking about a different case of your garments, is we wear our kantas that are white, right? Our talis that is white. Some people have a stripe on it and so on, but basically the garment is white. What if you're wearing a green garment? In those days, let's remember, people wore the regular garment. We put on our kantas just to be able to do the mitzvah tzitzit. But at one time, that was a normal garment. So let's say a guy has a red shirt or a yellow shirt or whatever. So there's a din called min kanaf, which is not for today's shir, that the strings are supposed to be the same color as the garment. So that's what the Rambam there was talking about. But in any event, in the context of that presentation, the Rambam writes, you can put on other colors of the strings, chutz min hashachar, except black, which are nearer to Tcheles. The Rambam there seems to say Tcheles is dark. Before he said it's sky blue. So that's a little bit of an issue. Perhaps the issue is resolved by the Radvaz. In the Tshuva, the Radvaz has many volumes of Tshuvas. One of them is called Sarsuz Radvaz, Loshonas HaRambam. He was asked, Shailas, about what the Rambam passed. We have many sections of the Rambam had the Radvaz printed on the page. But he has Tshuvas about the Rambam's positions as well. So here, Chelek Hei, the Tshuva Radvaz, in Mem Ches, he writes, from 29, he goes back to that poster that I mentioned before, Lahabdol says, Yesh Lomar Sheish Gevin Tcheles Rushachar, Habab Yeshayo Shachar Kolkat. The point is, they're different shades, and it doesn't matter. It's got to be blue, it's a little bit brighter, a little bit lighter, it's not always the same. And by the way, even from in the production process, and again, I've seen this myself, It's not always the exact same. You know, even if you do it. Huh? Say it again. Yeah. He's commenting on right. He said, but he's not saying halacha. He's just telling you that it's a time for why the Rambam says darker. I think so. Yeah. I think so. So if you look it up, it's the Shulchan Aruch Chelek Hei Siman Mem Ches. Right, that's a problem. So there are a number of different parishioners. What these are referring to, the idea that the Rambam, for example, I have later on, the Rambam seems to say it's shochar kidyo, like ink. There's a problematical Rambam, and the Moshe Feinstein quotes like that in Shuva. Right. So that's a different way to answer that. But in any event, certainly from the Radvaz, what I wanted to bring out is that the blue doesn't have to be the different shades, and that's also okay. But one other thing the Rambam does is in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph again, source 30, it says V'atcheila some of the tzitzis sofshet tzitzotzia yidua she'omedes biyofya v'lo sishtaneh. It's got to be color fast. In other words, it has to. By the way, not all dyes work with wool. This is a scientist point out. Not all dyes work as well with wool as with cotton and other materials. To think about it, but in any event, but this dye has to work with wool, and it's she'omedes biyofya v'lo tishtaneh. And the Rambam is v'chosel lo nitzavos the tzia posel tzitzis af al pi shum kein arakia. Right, even if it looks like the sky, it's got the right color, but it's not this. The Rambam says no good, because Mishra 4 is probably going to fade. That's the idea of color. And where did the Rambam get this from? That it has to be fast. The Gemara doesn't punch that out exactly, that it has to be a color that doesn't fade. But the Gemara does indicate a Menachas of Mem Gimel. That parak of Menachas talks about whether Tchelis is Makeh, whether the Lava was not, again, not Tzukereish here. But Menachas of Mem Gimel Alpha 31, it says, if we chazusi, we do a test. There's ways to test whether it's a tcheles or it's a kalil and so on. So the Gemara says, if the chazusay psula, if the appearance fades, that's how Rashi explains in 32, Menachas Mem Gimel Aleph, Nif chazusay niskalsul amara psula, the kalilanu. If it fades, it's no good because it's kalilan. Okay, now it's interesting because kalilan has a molecular, they know today, scientifically, maybe it'll be explained later, the molecular quality of kalilan, this plant indigo, is the same as tcheles from this lyric, it's the same, which works out well with the Gemara, because the Gemara says only a Kodesh Baruch Hu can tell the difference. Okay, we can't tell the difference. Now, it's not quite the same. There are slight differences, which, and again, the scientists can explain, which actually would seem to be that a little bit of a raya, that this murex, as we'll see later, is the right snail, because that was known in ancient times as a creature which they got dyed from. So if that was possible, and the Gemara says Kalayim is possible, and knew about this, and this is Taka possible, we said this is also possible. And if the color is the same, and they're telling you which color is possible, then the Gemara should have said, if this isn't it, the Gemara said, this is all, Kalayim from here is also possible. It doesn't say that. Okay. In terms of, yeah. Right, so that, okay, well, good. Good segue into the next point. Let's take a look. All right, we didn't say, so far we haven't spoken about the chalazim, but now we'll come to that. Good, thank you. No, the Rambam doesn't. We'll see the Rambam. I didn't speak to him. Yeah, I'm going to get to it in a second. I just want to mention, if you're interested in that subject, there's the, in the Hakdamah to state, to the Mishnayis Yochanan Boaz, the regular, you know, regular big Mishnayis that has the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael, which have on the bottom of the Mishnayis, but he has a Hakdamah to state a Moed called Kupas HaRochlim, and he has a number of different issues, and he discussed at some length over there, and I don't have it here, it's not for today's year. He discussed at some length over there whether does Tavka have to come from Chalazin or not. He has a whole analysis. But in any event, let's talk about the Chalazin Tavka. We haven't mentioned that at all. So far, I've come and just spoke about the color. The next source, the Tosefta Menachas, Perek Tes, Halacha Tes Zayin. There, the Tosefta says openly, Chalaz Ein Kshara Elam El Chalazin, Hei Mishalom El Chalazin Psula. Finished. Chalaz has to come from this creature called the Chalazin. That's a Tosefta. Doesn't leave much room for debate. What exactly is the chilozman? That doesn't tell us. So let's look and see what Chazal tells us about the chilozman, and we can try and figure out if we can figure out what the chilozman exactly is, because that Tosefta just says that chil is only kosher from the chilozman. So there is a sugya Masechta Shabbos of Ayin Hamad Aleph, source 34, where the Gemara talks about Tana Rabbana Hatzod chilozman rapotzo for Hilchos Shabbos purpose. We know that one of the 39 malachas is tzeda, trapping. So the Gemara talks about Hatzod chilozman, and potzo means, as Rashi explains in 35, Ayin Hamad Aleph rapotzo dolko biyodav sheyeitz edom. You press it, the squeezing. You know, we know about squeezing on Shabbos, right? Here we talk about squeezing lemons and squeezing other things. So here you're squeezing this creature, and it's the blood or the liquid oozes out. So that's the issue with the chayav twice on Shabbos. Once again, my focus is not relevant to us, but one thing for sure, that the chiyuv is mishum tzeda, and tzeda applies to living creatures. So one thing we see from this Gemara is that whatever the chilozim is, it's a living creature. Otherwise, tzeda wouldn't apply, right? Tzeda applies only to living creatures. That's how the earlier Gemara in Shabbos, next source 36, Ayin Dalam and Beis, the Gemara speaks about people who trap chilozim for a living. Elam Arabi Temer Eloi 36, Shekain Sode chilozim koshun umatirin. There is so much kosher and matir, of tying knots and so on and so forth. So you use nets. They would use the trap these chilozim tie ropes or string together and sweep, you know, with it. Or perhaps some say they would lower these boxes in. Those who have ever seen out in the ocean lobster, they trap lobsters, they have like this whole, like a box, and they lower it way deep into the water and so on, and the lobster comes in, later on they pick it out. So maybe that's how they do it. But either way, it had to do with tying, you know, which is not our subject, tying knots on Shabbos. But you see again, there are people who did this for a living. They trapped chilozim. So obviously, chilozim is some type of a living creature. Now Rashi there in Shabbos, Ayin Dalam Amud Beis, 37, says, Sade chilozim, litzvah ha-tcheles. That's what they did, it's a tcheles. As he said, they trapped chilozim for the purpose of making tcheles. And Rashi says there, but who can mean dag katan? It's like a small fish. That's how Rashi there in Shabbos Ayin Dalam Beis defines chilozim as dag katan. Tosus on an earlier daf in Shabbos, a daf earlier Ayin Gimel Beis 38 Yom Asim Mepharik, he's talking about Melach of Disha, those who are familiar, squeezing one thing out on Shabbos and so on. Mepharik does one of the 39 Melachas. The Gemara's whole discussion is Disha is only the Karka, it's on the Raisa level. So again, it's a machlokas, not to today. Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Shabbos Sugya, where the dash is only by Melach of Dash is only by the Karka, not. But that Tosus in the middle of that Tosus, Tosa says, "In Disha would do the karka." The aim of the doctor chilozim should dog patri the bottom below and do a karka. But there's no squeezing, there's no issue of mefarik dosh by chilozim because it's a fish. It's not to do a karka. Maybe animals are different because they live off the karka. Again, not my subject, but again, Tosa there says chilozim should dog. It says it's a dog. Now, so we know it's a living creature. They seem to say that it's a fish, and as we'll see later, some people thought that Adina Rebbe, we'll see later, thought concluded that it was a fish called the cuttlefish. Fish with a kind of squid. That's the we'll get to that momentarily. There is a an important comment of Tosis and Shabbos there on Ayin Hamad Aleph Dibas Kihechi, where points out, like I said before, when we speak about dam chilozim, it's not dam in the sense of blood like the lifeblood, but as Rabbeinu Tam says, Eishel Rabbeinu Tam, the dam chilozim harolatzi a miskid pocket. It's gathered in one place. It's not the blood that goes through, but it's like in a sack. You know, SAC, you know, like in somewhere, it's gathered in one location, you know, and we'll see later, we'll probably describe it in the presentation on the screen. But the mifkid pocket means it's not the life, but it's like some kind of mucus or some gathering of liquid. That's what's meant by adam chilozim. There is a mesechta called Mesechta Tzitzis, which is among the so-called Mesechta Ktanas. Not regular, not part of the Shas, not part of the regular Daf Yomi, but the end of, usually in the end of the print, in the end of Nezikin, they print the so-called minor Mesechta. Obviously, there are other smaller Mesechta. One is called Mesechta Tzitzis. Chaim Kanievsky Shlita wrote a parish on these small Mesechtas, so he has on Mesechta Tzitzis also. But anyway, Mesechta Tzitzis, Parak Alav, Alav Yud, it says in source 40, She'ein Tzomet Cheres Ad Chilozim, Chilozim Amal Dome, Brioso Dome Ladag, Begufa Dome Arkiya. We also mean it's anatomy, I guess. It's like a fish, and its body has the appearance like the skies. It's also that's what that advice says. The Gemara quotes that, well, not exactly. The Mormon Office Mem Dal Mahal 41 says, "Tana Bana Chalazon Mahu Gufo Domayam Briyosa Domal Adar." Right, then it comes out every 70 years. Uvid Domo Tzovin Chelas Tzovin Chelas Ulefichah Domal Bikar. That's why it's so expensive and so on. Rashi says, here it says, we have Shivim. Here it says, yes, some say 70, some say 7, and many assume it's a Guzma. Anyway, it's just an exaggeration. It means it's rare. It means it's rare to get, hard to get. Rashi comments there, "Mormon Office Gufo Mara Gufo Tavlis Diukno." Like it's Gufo. It's you know, somehow cow is similar to some sort of a fish. And that's what some say. Some want to say that it's not a fish. Rashi here, I just want to point out for full disclosure, is the olam in haaretz. That's a problem. What do you mean olam in haaretz? I thought it's in the ocean. So that's a different issue. The Novi Huda in the beginning of the second volume, Chuvah Sinyana, has a tshuva from his son. We parenthesis that not for now, just to, well, someone wants to look it up. The Rambam in Hilchos Tzitzis, Parak Beis, Halacha Beis in 43, the Rambam explains how you diet. He gives you the ingredients and so on, how you diet. And then it says in the second line, Bachar Kamei Dam Kilozim Behud Dag. It's a fish. Here's what the Rambam says, the liquid, at least when it comes out, is black like ink. It's a bit of a problem, but that's what the Rambam says. The question where the Rambam got that from, the Gemara doesn't say it. But the fact that all these sources seem to say that chalazon is a fish does not necessarily automatically mean that it's a fish the way we understand the fish today. Because the Vilna Gaon already points out, in a totally different context, in 44, the Gaon is in Maseches Kalin. The Eliyahu Rabbah and Kalin, Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph, the Gaon makes a klal. He says, Shekol Shebayam mean daghu. When Chazal used the word dog, it meant the creature lives in the ocean. Doesn't have to be a fish, doesn't have to be categorized as a wheel called.
A snail, it can be a fish.
Exactly. Therefore, a snail can be a fish, it can be a dog, because it's in the ocean. That's the Gaon's assertion here. He's not talking about chalazon, he's not talking about a topic. It's in Kalin. It's a tone issue. But he's saying, that the fact that the Chazal called a dog, don't get so excited. I'm saying the fact that Chazal say that the chalazon is a dog doesn't mean it's a fish that we call a fish, the modern fish. It can be a snail also, any type of creature lives in the ocean. That's the dagon. Whatever it looks like is called in Chazal a dog. And the truth of the matter is, Ibn Ezra already said that earlier, and the dagon obviously, Ibn Ezra, Pasuk and Tillim, Parak Nimchas, Pasuk Test, where it says, the Pasuk says, those who know the capital, Kamo Shablul. Now, Shablul is a snail. There's no question about it. Shablul is a snail. It's a kind of another topic. It's a pasuk and tefillin. Kamo Shablul. But Ibn Ezra, not pasuk and tefillin, says, the Dibar Kamo Zalbar Shablul, who could moose dog by mine? Ibn Ezra says, Shablul is a dog. It's not. We know Shablul is a snail. There's no question about it. So he calls it a dog. That's like the gun, later. Yeah. Many. Yeah. Yeah.
And the other indicating.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll bring that Rambam later. Yeah.
That
everything is
in the mind.
It's called the. Some of that. That's what it's going to
do. It's just a pointing that it's not
an animal, land creature.
That it's a sea snail.
Right. Not a grass. Exactly. So exactly correct. So what we have so far is that it's a living creature and it's a sea creature. It's not a creature on land. Correct. Yerushalmi tells us something else about in Masechet Shabbos, Parak Aleph Halacha Gimel, talking about squeezing whatever is on Shabbos. So Yerushalmi says, Amr Shimon Chalafta, Parak Aleph Halacha Gimel, Shabbos, source 46, Amr Shimon Chalafta, Belom Chalazim Shemana Chalazim Yesh Lagid about Samos. It's a rhetorical question. Chalazim has no limbs. We call that in English a boneless invertebrate. Right, it's got no bones and limbs. That kind of a creature. Right, that's the Kmiya. That's how the Korban Eda in 47. And it's talking about you can kill it on Shabbos. We'll skip the Korban Eda inside because you can look at it yourself. But the key point is that in Chalazon, Yeshua, Gidabat Thomas, that's not a statement. It's a Kmiya. Right, it's a rhetorical question. Certainly not. That's the same Moshe. The next source learns it as well. So you know what it's like? It's like a worm or a slug. You know, which is really exactly what a snail is, except the snail is a shell. Anyway, so we know that it's a sea creature, we know that it's a living creature, we know that it's a sea creature, we know that it's a boneless invertebrate from these sources in Chazal, and now we know something else, what?
Doesn't that eliminate the
cuttlefish? Yeah, correct, so we'll have to deal with that. We're not going to get to that today. But Zina Rebbe thought it was a cuttlefish. Yeah, again, I want to make a full disclosure. There are kashas, there are different ways. I'm just trying to give you a general overview. It's a good hour, very good hour. There's a medrash in Dvarim Rabba, Parshas Kisava, Parshas Zayin, Siman Yud Aleph. The Torah tells us, you know, one of the nisim in the Midbar was that Simvoschal Obosam Elecha, right? That our garments, we typically wore the same garments all the time, the whole 40 years, and it didn't smell bad and so on and so forth. So the medrash comments on that. The medrash asks, Amar Yosef Bar Chanina, wait a minute, didn't people grow? Let's say you were 40 years in the Midbar, your body changed. How could it be that the clothes, when the expanded kid was 15 and started, now he's 55 and then nothing, I wear the same clothes, the kid was 8 or whatever. So the Medrash deals with that over there, and the Medrash says, look at the last line of 40, I'm going to live a long didn't people grow? By the way, we go to the Katana land, suddenly the uniform would be too small, right? The clothes would be too small. I'm going to piss my mouth, don't be so puzzled by it. Ha-chilozon azeh, kishagodel mabu shagodel imo. When the chilozon grows, its garment, so to speak, we call it the shell, grows with it. Right? So that was the nation of the Midbar also. Fine, but what do you see from here for our purposes? That the chilozon has a shell. But has Malbusha means his garment. Doesn't mean a shell, but in Shir Shirim Rabbah, the next verse 50, Parsha Dalet and Bahus Yud Aleph, there it says, the same Kasha, Amar Leibel Ohel, didn't they grow? Amar Leibel, Seol Ma Mechlaz, and Shakoz Manchu Godom Nartiko, Godom Imo, Nartiko means a shell, so the shell grows with it. Right? So that now we've seen that the Chalazim has a shell. I don't know if this is the Rambam you're referring to before. There's another Rambam 51, a Parish on Mishnah Rambam Kalim, Paragud Beis, that's probably what we're talking about, Paragud Beis, Mishnah Aleph, where the Rambam writes in source 51, who came tzadak, it's a shell, asking about, if it didn't tumen tar, it's talking about a certain type of something lockdown, it didn't tumen, and also tzadak shel bal chai hayami hanikra chilazon. This is a shell from the chilazon. So you see clearly the chilazon has a shell. In terms of its inner appearance, so Rashi in Sanhedrin, Sad Aleph Med Aleph, writes in 52, chilazon's tolas. Right, it's a worm. It's a type of worm. And the Ritzvah writes like that. The Ritzvah, first of all, quotes that the Ritzvah in Shabbos Ayin Hamad Aleph Dilmas from his Asik. In the Shabbos issue, so he writes the Tithra in the time, the Dom Chilazon Nifka Pocket, like we saw in Tosis, right? It's not the blood that comes out, but it's the blood that's gathered or concentrated, I guess would be a good English word, concentrated in one place, right? And it also says, Shani Chilazon She'enon Balevarim, the Ritzvah writes, the Chilazon has no limbs, it's in bonus and vertebrae. Elaguf Otum Kilkozonos Bash Pasos. Like you see, we call it slugs. I don't know about here in Muncie, but sometimes in the garbage can, especially in the summer, you see slugs and so on around. That's what it is. It's this type of bonus invertebrate. It says goof atum. Atum can mean opaque, but it also mean, sealed, so to speak. Whatever it is, but it's some type of a worm. That's what the Ram writes in the Chiddush of the Mechus, the Ram Shabbos, Kuzayim and Aleph. Same idea. So, it's clear. Now, to summarize, I can, and then before going to the last part, it's clear that the Torah tells us that tzitzis and klei mishkan and bidekun and so on have to have tchelas. It's clear that tchelas, according to most rishonim, is some shade of blue. Different opinions, whether it's sky blue, it's sky at noontime, sky towards evening. Maybe the different shades don't exactly matter. They're not matched one way or the other. But certainly, again, Rashi's opinion. Rashi's Rashi. We can't just dismiss it. He does say green, but maybe it means the greenest type of blue, aquamarine, perhaps. We saw it in the Radak, ultramarine, and azure. And the Gemara says it's like indigo, all which is blue, sapphire. All these colors that are mentioned indicate that it's blue. So we know that the tzitzis have to have blue. We also know now that it comes from a creature called the chalazon, and the chalazon has. It's a living creature. It lives in the seas. That's why it's called a dog, even though it's not what we call a fish. Perhaps it has to be in a boneless invertebrate level. All these principles. Now, so the question is, so what's going on? So how come all of us grew up, we never saw tchelas, we never heard of it, all our tzitzis and talasim and white and so on and so forth. What's happening? When did this, how late did we have tchelas? Is there a way to find out how late, historically, did we have tchelas? So it's interesting, there's a Gemara in Menachos, source 55, Menachos Mem Gimel and Aleph. Mar Mimashi Isi Tchilta B'Shnei Ravachai. A certain Mar was, Rashi says in the next verse, Shem Chochem, that was his name, and Mashri Shem Chochem, this rabbi, wherever he was, came and he brought Tcheles before Rav Achai, okay? And he tested it and so on and so forth. But who exactly is Rav Achai? We know about Rav Achai Gaon, the Baal HaShultas, which would imply that Rav Achai, that he had Tcheles as late as the days of the Gaonim. Tosus and Zochem, in a different context, in 57, Kuf Beis in the Beis, quotes this Rav Achai, and it says, look in 57, when we talk Tachai, Omer Rabbi Shmuel, the who Rav Achai Shos HaShultas. That Rav Achai is quoted in the Gemara, it's a later Gemara, it's referring to Rav Achai Baal HaShultas, but then he says, Shahar Mirabonon Savaroi. He was Rabbanan Samaroi right after the Amorim, before the Gaon. The Rabbanan Samaroi were roughly 500, 550 to 750 at that time. Those couple of years. That's the Rav Achai. The stomach's not the Rav Achai Baal HaShultas. That's what Tos himself concluded there in Zochin. And I just printed for historical interest, the Geras Ashura Gaon, 58, under Rabbanan Samaroi, Osayin Tet, says that these were the Rabbanan Samaroi, and one of them mentions Rav Achai. So it's not the Rav Achai Gaon, the Baal HaShultas. But still,
how can you mention something in it?
That's a toast again, Mitchell Ravashi. Exactly. Right. That's a toast includes the Zvachim. So whoever toast is quoted by the Shema, I don't know if he meant the Rashbam or not, but whoever it was said the Zvachai Baal HaShultas, the Pashas is not. However, he's from the Rabbanan Savaroi. Rabbanan Savaroi is after the Chasimah HaTalmud. It's after the days of the Gemara, and they apparently still had the Rabbanan Savaroi, who we know least about. We don't know that much about the Rabbanan Savaroi, just more or less what Rav Shira Gaon tells us. Maybe now there's been more research, I don't know. But whenever it was, between 500 and 700 roughly, or maybe 550, 750, the era of the Rabbanan Savaroi, but at least at that time they still had Tcheles. By the time of the Gaonim, it's clear that they didn't. If you look at the next source, The Chuvas Hagaon, in Shari Chuvas from Kuf Nun Tes, the Chuvas there says Kishahoya Tchelis B'Yad Yisrael. The Gaonim already speak about when we had Tchelis. So already by the days of the Gaonim, and around the year 750 and further, they already Taka didn't have Tchelis. That's how the Chuvas Hagaon writes. The Ramban writes in the Mechamas and Shabbos Yud Reis Menachem on the page of the Rifso 60. Hare Avos Kadmonim Os Hagaonim Nosgu Lotes B'Talashet B'Lovim B'Lov Tchelis. Rabban, well, obviously Rishon, is writing that already in the days of the Gaonim they were going with only Lovan and not with Tchela. So at some point in the days before the days of the Gaonim is when Tchela stopped being used. There's an interesting Sifrei in the Parashat Zos HaBrocha, Sifrei in Dvarim, Pesukei Shin Nun Dalet. An interesting story. Amar Yosi Pam Achas Yisra Mahalat Mechziv Letzur. The cities in the northwest part of Eretz Yisrael, Kziv, those men in the beginning of Gittin and so on. So Kziv and Tzur is Pyre, which is in Lebanon today, in the north, or what we call the northwestern coast by the Mediterranean, which we know, by the way, from archaeological evidence, was the ancient dying centers were in that part of the world. And that's exactly this Medrash is telling the story. And he ran to this person, he asked Rabbi Yossi, yes, what do you do for a living? And two Jews meet, Paras also, what do you do for a living? I hunt chilozin, or whatever. I make my living off chilozin. You can find chilozin, you're able to find it. So he tells the whole story. We said outside the same time, there's some place with a lot of spiders around, it's hard to get through, and so on and so forth. Anyway, he said, at that point at least, he seemed to still have some chilozin available. Rabbi Yossi already was surprised it's accessible, you can find chilozin. Apparently, it wasn't so accessible at that time. And another medrash, in Bamidbar Rabbah, Parsha Shlach, Parsha Yitzayin, Siman Hay 62, it says, V'achshav ein lanu elovin shatcheles nignaz. It was put in the Gnezi, and I mean, it was removed from use. That's a medrash tamchuma also in Shlach, Oz Tasvav. V'achshav ein lanu elovin shatcheles nignaz. Therefore, mitzvah the lovin. We only have lovin. And I just printed, the three Amudei Haroah in terms of the Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh, all state openly that we don't have Tchelis anymore. The Rif is in the Halachas Ketanas and Menachas, the Av Yud Gimel Beis in the page of the Rif in Menachas. The Ibn of the Leslan Tchelis, now we don't have Tchelis, so we only have life and whatever else. The Rambam writes in the Chuvitz in Kuflam Ches 65, he also says, Aval Akshav, so it has the Nafkamina with how you wrap and how you tie, which is a different shear also, maybe another time. The Nafkamina had a wrap, so the Rambam also says we don't have Tchelis, we don't have Lovim. And the Rosh, and his Hilchos Tanis, Halachos Tanis, also in the back of Menachos, and Siman Teslov in 66. Again, it's a matter of how you tie. We're all familiar with tying tzitzit. We learned in Yeshiva Tanya, 7, 8, 11, 13, right? The way you wrap it, but that's when you don't have Tchelis, there are different ways to wrap it, different sheets, is not right now. But you're not allowed less than 7 wrappings and more than 13. The Rosh tells you the sources. But anyway, in the third or fourth, second last line there in 66, he writes, near the dafka kishyeh tchelas, oz yesh the dafka kriminyan achulios. We have to medaktik to wrap the chulios, the triplets of strings, in a certain way. Dafka, we have tchelas, unless a few lines later, line later, avala idna she ain't lana tchelas, ain't lana with dafka. We don't have to do that thing. We see clearly, certainly by the time of the great Rishonim, the Mori Haroah, the Amud Haroah, the Rift, the Ram Rosh, is no more Tchelis, and the Ramban writers ready the days, the Gonim was gone. What happened? I mean, the Pasha, what happened exactly? So here there's a lot of speculation. There's a fascinating Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Beis Amid Aleph. They sent a message to Rava, a Yud Beis Amid Aleph in Sanhedrin, which was an encoded message. Right, there's the Hashalchul and Rava. Zug Bomi Rekes, the Sofsu Nesher, Sofsu Nesher, or Yodam Dorm Hanasa Beluz, whom I knew Tchelis and so on, the Susa Rach, the Susan Yotsu Bishon. Some message was sent to Rava, like a coded message. They didn't use regular words. Rashi explained, Zug Shnei Kamele Chachamim, they were coming from Rekes, which is nicknamed the Tveria, the Sofsu Nesher, the eagle, that's the Romans captured them, right, and they were bringing something, they were bringing Tchelis. Apparently, they were trying to smuggle Tchelis. And we know from history that the Beni Yoyada, which unfortunately you know the Beni Yoyada, the Beni Shchai, the Rabbi Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, has a commentary on the Agadas of Chazal called Tudis, Beni Yoyada and Beni Yoyada. So the Beni Yoyada on this Gemara in Sanhedrin, he writes, it's because the Romans prohibited anybody from manufacturing or wearing Tchelis, because it was reserved for royalty only. It was only for the, you had to be a nobleman, you had to be an aristocracy, under the aristocracy. And apparently these two people were caught, and Rava got the message, they got out okay, whatever the details were, then the other comments there. And we know from non-Jewish, secular historians, that at various different times, the Romans, and you can see that there are the records of Roman edicts. in lands that they controlled, which included Eretz Yisrael, that you're not allowed to manufacture, and chas, if you wear it, it was considered only for the royalty, only for the nobility could wear. It's like someone in America would walk around, you have a uniform with all these medals. You're not allowed to wear a, if you're in the army and you got medals, you could wear a regular person, you know, you're not allowed to do that. So, it was so, yeah, time for your death. Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw
on a document that say, if anyone that deals with this, either we take all his wealth, and
how wealthy was he?
Yeah. Or
execute. Yeah, no, this was a very, very serious. So that's really the only way we can explain something like, hey, you had a mitzvah, which and now all of a sudden you stop doing the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Achila, we'll see in a moment. But apparently it was on penalty of death, and therefore just that's how it basically would seem how it fell out of use.
Other missions
okay.
had that.
What?
Other missions had that also, where we had to be interrupted because Russians
meal. Right, you're right, by economy. But here it required, you know, it required more, it required selling and so on and so forth. It's important, as there are, but that's the pasha.
You're not the Achila,
you don't wear tzitzis, you don't want to wear 400 gram at all anymore. That's what she's saying. Hold tzitzis is quote unquote a rishus.
Sorry, I have a question. Why aren't we
Yeah, right. The Torah, yeah. So let me just mention by the way, the Ramban, as late as the Ramban, Rishon was later in the Romans, but the Ramban writes in Parshas Tetzav on the pasuk Perchavcheses Mos pasuk Beis Lechol Siferes. The Ramban writes Uscheles Gam Hayom. So it lasted for centuries. That might be the difference also. You know, they made milos, so we had decrees at different times, but this was ongoing. Ramban already writes, gam hayom, lo yoren ishes yodel lilmos chutz mi melech goyim. Even the days of Ramban, as the 1200s, it's a century later. So obviously, that's why it's made in the milah, which you had pockets of times and this, that. But here it was centuries and centuries and centuries where it was not, to the point that Ramban says, even today, nobody would dare wear tchelos without permission from, you know, the king and so on and so forth. We know that it was a royal garment, Ramban just quotes. We all know, Shoshanas Yaakov, Tzol, Samecha, Beros, and Yachat, Tchelos, Mordechai. Tchelos, Mordechai, right? That mode when I want to dress Mordechai up, was tchelos. Right, Mordechai Yosef was Rav Rus Malchus Tchelus. What is Rus Malchus Tchelus?
Royal
bull, exactly. So now, having said all of this, so we know when Tchelus, so to speak, fell out of use for many, many centuries. So what's happened now? Just to go very quickly, what's happened now in more recent times? So in the 1880s, Gershon Hanuch Liner, who is the Radzina Rebbe, Zohar Lebracha, he was the grandson, those who know history of Chassidus, he was the grandson of the Radzina Rebbe who was split from the Kotzke Rebbe, the famous Sinai issue in Kotzke. But the famous Meister in Kotzke, so he was the grandson. So Gershon Hanuch Liner was a great Talmud Chacham and a very ingenious, gifted person, and he took it upon himself to figure out how maybe it's time to revive this mitzvah. He had things in the Zohar and so on and so forth, the Mashiach, whatever his motivations were. So he studied the science of this, so self-educated, obviously didn't study in the university, the self-educated Gershon Hanuch Liner, and he went, at that time, they had, I think it's the first, or one of the first public aquariums in Europe, was in the city of Naples in Italy, and he traveled, the Radzina Rebbe traveled to Italy, and looked at different types of sea creatures, and he came, however he finds was the question, or the bonus invertebrate, whatever else, but he figured out that the fish called the cuttlefish, which is in the squid family, was in fact the correct source for trailers. And he wrote several Svarim, which are now, by the way, available. They put all three now in one volume. The Svarim are called Tzune Tzune Chol, and the Psil Techeles and Eina Techeles, where he deals with Malachic point of view. He had exchanges with different Rabbanim and Talmidei Chacham and Rosh Yeshivas at his time, including the Beis Halevi, we'll mention in a moment. But the Radzina Rebbe became convinced, and so therefore, the Radzina Chassidim, his Chassidim, started to manufacture Techeles and Breslov is followed, and sounds like Arei Amazer. You can see in Yerushalayim, other places where there are Radzina Chassidim, and then Breslov Chassidim, wear Techeles from this cuttlefish, from this squid, and their factories and everything else. That's from the Radzina Rebbe, and he really revived the mitzvah.
Many of them
are changing. Oh, they're changing now, okay. Good, updated information as
itself. Hundreds and hundreds of them.
And that's changing.
Yeah.
But the Radzina Rebbe insisted that this was correct, and that's what he, the next person to look into this, maybe, you know, in 30 years later, less than 30 years later, the Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog. Rav Herzog, who later became the Rabbi Rashi, and he was the chief rabbi in Israel after Rav Kook. He was actually the first chief rabbi of the state of Israel, because Rav Kook was nifted before 1948, and Herzog took over. So Rav Herzog was also a genius of a person on many levels. He knew science and everything. He grew up in Ireland, actually. He was chief rabbi of Ireland at one point. He had communications again with the Talmid Chacham in Europe, the Slonim, I think it was Smichas from the Slonim Rebbe, and who was surprised when he first got a letter from this person from England. That was, you know, Ireland and England were away from the Torah centers of the world at that time. It wasn't like today where you can just go on Skype or something like that. And he got a letter written in, you know, obviously someone who knew how to learn, you know, who is this person anyway, but they corresponded with him. So Herzog actually got a PhD, is a doctorate at the university, on the subject of the colors of the Torah, colors of Tanakh. It's called Hebrew Porphyrology. That's the name of his doctoral dissertation, which is available in a book. I have it at home. His doctoral dissertation, which has a lot of science, which I admit I don't understand, but also sources and so on. So he investigated this subject also, and he came to the conclusion that Radzina Rebbe was not correct, because he demonstrated that the chemist that the Radzina Rebbe worked with seems to have been somewhat less than fully scrupulous, and he mixed some other stuff in, which it could make iced tea look the color of blue if you mix that in. What didn't have to be from the cuttlefish was not.
Right.
So unfortunately, Rabbi says he even followed him, but the Herzog kind of proved that he didn't think it was correct. He proved it was not correct. However, what's interesting is, remember, the community of Radzin was wiped out, and was many people wiped out in the Holocaust, and then they reconstituted Baruch Hashem afterwards in Eretz Yisrael. And by the way, we have letters that Rabbi Herzog corresponded with the Radzin. Rebbe himself was nifted by the time Herzog was on the scene, but he corresponded with the dynasters, with the people in Radzin who ran the factories, and so he got their information back and forth. So when the community of Radzin, which had been eliminated in the Holocaust, reconstituted in Eretz Yisrael, so that all the dynasty was killed, a few people left, so they came to Herzog because they knew he had the letters, so they were able to recreate their system based on Herzog's letters. So it's an ironic twist of history, because Herzog demonstrated that it was incorrect, but because of Herzog they were able to continue. Now you're saying they're changing, but that's a sort of irony of history. Herzog was aware of this nail called the Murex. He had a couple of caches on it, which again we'll discuss in the later presentation. He suggests something else called the Janthina, but the Murex, which is again widely used, or becoming more widely used today, Rav Herzog had a number of problems, or two major problems. One problem was this idea that it was the color. He said the color just didn't come out right when he did it in the lid. It didn't come out the blue. That was his problem. That was a big problem. And the other problem was, it was a purplish color rather than blue, and that was a problem. Huh? A brownish purple, right? But that wasn't blue. And the other problem was it was the idea of Doma Layam, that it physically somehow looks like the sea. It also didn't work with this. However, later on they discovered the following. If you do the dyeing outside in the sunlight, is when it becomes blue. The Herzog did all his examinations in the lid. Right, there was a scientist, he did everything in the libs. And lib, you didn't have natural sunlight, and therefore it was never exposed. What he was doing, again, I've seen it in my own eyes. You can go to Israel today and see it yourself, and hopefully see some demonstration maybe later in the program. But in sunlight, which Herzog just didn't think to do, and if someone asked, said, how come the Gemara doesn't say you have to do it by sunlight? So I suspect because pastors, that's what they did. They didn't have lib. Everything was done outside. They simply didn't have it. So it wasn't necessary.
Thanks, Sifela. It says it in two.
Yeah, so he's tired.
Main town.
Of the dying, yeah.
Difficult
to hear. Okay, the smell.
What's
the
music?
Yeah.
The basar from the kelot itself to
help. Yeah, the smell. It smells like dead fish, I think, which is what it is. Yeah. My brother-in-law, who's going to speak on the program later, I remember when they first got into this business, so he was dying it on the roof of his house. It was in Eretz Yisrael. And until my sister said, I'd come. that was a hard sex. One problem. The other problem is, Doma Liyam, but those who have gone down to the ocean, these things live on the seabed. And Taka, the color blends right in with the seabed. Maybe that's something Doma Liyam. But anyway, that was a hard sex. And now, more recently, in the last 20 or so years, and you'll hear about this shortly, so others have felt that this Murex nail is the right thing, which Herzog was aware of, just rejected for reasons that he couldn't have known otherwise about. And that's why many people couldn't come to Chachamim, and again, the other people will speak about it. I just want to finish off with the last group of sources, because, you know, there is certainly archaeological evidence. The Rav here just mentioned in Sur, which is Tyre, they found many, many archaeological digs filled with these broken shells. There's no question that in the days of Chazal they used shells. Now you could argue that maybe it wasn't for tzitzis, but as I said before, but if it produced the same color, then the Gemara should have said that it's no good. And also the words, okay, without the details now, but the word for the Latin word for for murex is purpura, which is the same word that's used for pelus in language. Now there are people who say, okay, but we can't bring rayas from archaeology and from language and so on, which is a certain point. However, there are cases where we do. I want to say outside the table of time. You look in source 7, the Gemara Baba Basra, the Ein Gimel and Beis, come over Ein Dal and Aleph. So this is in the section of the Gemara called the Guzmos of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. The Gemara tells a group about 21 adventures of Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Went to different places, saw different things. It's hard to figure out what the Gemara means. But one of them here is the Gemara said, and I'll say it outside to say a few minutes, you can read it inside. Rabba Bar Chana came across a certain Arab in the desert, hiking or whatever he was doing, and he was able to tell just by looking at the dirt and the sand how far it is to the ocean. Anyway, he says at the end of the first paragraph, I can show you where the Mesei Midbar are buried. I can show you where some of the Mesei Midbar are buried. So Rabbi Amrachan was interested, so he went in there and he saw how they were lying down and climbed, whatever. And he cut off, they were buried in Talesim, which is a whole sugya. Whether we bury the palace, I mean, because we don't bury the palace, just cut off one of the possible palace. Those who know in the Chavik Hadisha here, the people don't want to be buried in this palace, it was a mistake, anyway, got some myself. But in any event, so that's that sugya. But anyhow, he cut off a piece of the palace to bring back to the Beis Medrash, and then the animals couldn't get out. For some sort of a magical, mystical, and the Arabs say, oh, you're taking anything from here, you'll never be able to get out. Okay, so he puts it back. So afterwards, he comes to the Beis Medrash, and they said to Rabbi Bachan, they call him fool. They call him a nasty name. They said to him, Chamer, and Sikhsar. Right? Why don't you at least take a look and see how many strings? The Machokas Beisham Beisilil, we have four strings folded over, a total of eight. That's like Beisham Beisilil says, three strings folded over, six. So he said to him, idiot, you were there, why don't you take a look and see, you cut it off to bring to the Beis. Okay, so they wouldn't let you out with it, good. So look at it. Now you see from that Gemara that they were willing to accept and bring into a halachic discussion something for which there was quote unquote, older evidence. That's what it looks like. If you look, the same thing we find in source 73 and the 74, the tour in Hilchos Tefillin. In Siman Lamed Daled, the tours we all know, the Machlokas Rashi and the Tam, what the order of the Parshas is in the Tefillin. The older Rabbi Shalom said, everybody knows that. And the Minhag is like Rashi, except many people don't bring the Tam afterwards. The Parshas side them, sometimes they were two pits, so I'm fine. So the Bach quotes in source 74, or Chaim Siman Lamed Daled, says, Minhag Olam Kaperish Rashi, and then he quotes, that they found the Geniza Tefillin, right? Shall carry Cheskel Motzu Shom Tefillin Yishan Kaseder Ramam Rashi. That would seem to be a proof. You found old Tefillin the days of Cheskel Navi that the parshas were in the order of Rashi and Alek Amen Upon. That would seem to be a proof. So the Bach said, well, not a proof, because maybe that's why it was in the Geniza, because it was possible. Okay, so didn't accept the proof. But Lamai said again, you see from that Gemara that they were willing to use not the archaeological evidence or linguistics parallels and so on can't establish halacha. We can't establish psak, okay? But it can be used to support a psak, or it can be used to establish metzias. Now we can use it for. That's the famous Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Ches, printed in 75. The Gemara says a number of words from Tanakh, the Chachamim didn't know what they meant. Right? If the Mishnah says, Karla Seirugin, reading the Megillah out of order, the Psukim, and interrupting in the middle of the Masech Megillah, Daf Yud Ches. They didn't know what the word Seirugin meant. They didn't know what this word meant. And they heard Amsa the Bay Rebbe. They heard the maid who works in the house of Rebbe said these certain words, and they figured out what it meant. Just she spoke that language, so they knew what it meant. So you see that sometimes, linguistic things can bring up or can be used to support, not to establish psak and to establish. Now, I mentioned before, and I'll finish with this, the Beis HaLevi and others objected to the Radzina Rebbe. At the time, the Radzina Rebbe prints in one of his farm what the Beis HaLevi's objections were. And that's a bear of risk, right? So with the Beis HaLevi prints, Radzina Rebbe in his farm print, it doesn't appear in the regular Jewish Beis HaLevi to my knowledge, but it appears in the Radzina Rebbe's farm. And the Beis HaLevi said, we have what some people like to refer to as a negative Mesara. What do you mean the cuttlefish? The cuttlefish has been accessible for all these years, for centuries and centuries, and we haven't. It's like there's a Mesara that's not right. That's the Beis HaLevi kind of. The Mesara that is not right. Some read the Beis HaLevi differently. Some say the Beis HaLevi means But the Besalevi is not right. Okay, you can argue because, but some say the Besalevi meant more than that. Some say the Besalevi meant not. You have to have a Mesorah that something is right, and once something is lost from Mesorah, you cannot. You can have all the archaeological and all the rayas and all the gemaras you want. You can't reintroduce something. That's not what it's again. It's not what it says in the way the Besalevi is presented in the Rebbe's Svarim. But people from the Brisker families and so on say over from the Besalevi a little differently than what's printed. Basically, what the Besalevi meant was you can't reintroduce something that's with the. It's been lost. Okay. However, there are. I just want to point out.
That if you can prove that it's not,
then you say you have to wear it. Yes, the Beis Halevi, a very important point. Thank you. The Beis Halevi is not there. That if the Beis Halevi himself says that if, in fact, we see something else in the Beis Halevi, which is printed in the Truvis, also his own Truvis, the Beis Halevi says that if something is if it's right, then a body you have to wear. But
he says, if you can prove that it's not something that has a negative,
right? The sorry, right?
So that
right,
that'll be right. Then we have to discuss the
right,
the
correct.
The but the Beis Halevi says in the Truvis,
yeah.
If you will find something,
he will put it on.
The Ishtaka,
the
Mr. Kaboy, a Catholic,
I'm
looking for something that is not necessary.
Right.
It doesn't run.
Right.
Because we have a Messiah, it's a difficult.
Yes.
So only the Taraya, you can bring the
Messiah. Yes. Yes. So again,
the Mr. Kaboy, Kabole.
Yeah, that's the Russian. So again, I'll just stay over the base, I'll let you different than it's printed. Huh?
The one barber, that if it wasn't
illegal, possible. Yeah. No, so I have other proofs also. Look at, well, by the way, Rav Yoh, just to mention that the Porfir cover, take a look at the Ma'aril. You know, late Rishonim. The Ma'aril, one of his chuvas in 78, chuvas Ma'aril Chadosh, Simon Hay, Os Beis. He writes a story, the Shemiyah, the Kul, she ate Tchelas Motsui. If the Tchelas we found, so then the Bekal, Hayalas, it's going to make Tchelas. The Ma'aril's a Rishonim. Huh? It's cool. Yeah, right, correct. That's what you're referring to. But my decosta spot, yeah.
That doesn't bring shit into
honor. Right, that's another important point. Yeah.
Only 5 simonim, maybe.
Right.
17 simonim.
Right, that's the thing.
Why isn't it low foot?
Huh?
Why isn't it low foot at one point or another? It was up
to half. So, somewhere in time, low plug sort of that we. Yeah, that's the problem. What's the downside? The cost benefit question. This is to say, and by the way, the Radvaz even writes in 79, one of his two different Shuvachev based on the Tough Rage Pehe, he says, Efter Sha'arayam Motse Oshain Makirin Oso, Oshain Yodim Matsudo. The Radvaz also acknowledges that it could be thrown out today. We just don't know exactly what it is. We don't know how to find it and so on and so forth. The Beis Halevi himself, and this is a long the Beis Halevi himself, and the Chuvan Chelek Alasin and Membeis, posits that if you have the right Chelek and you don't put it on, it could be you're violating Baltigra. That's also a big downside. But based on a Turi Evan, as before the Shaka, based on Turi Evan and Rosh Hashanah, about the whole nature of Baltigra, and the Beis Halevi explains, it's based on what goes back. The Shaka is trying to explain in the Rashbo. But anyway, it says that if you can do a bit, like I said, you put on only 3 tzitzis. What's Baltigra? Not to take away from the mitzvahs. So does it mean having only 3 tzitzis, three corners instead of 4? No, that's not Baltigra, that's 0. That's right, you didn't do the mitzvah at all. Baltigra, he suggests, is when you do the mitzvah, but it's missing something. And he says, HaKavona dehito rak lovon velo tchelis. That's what it means. You have the 4 corners, and you can even become the riot from Karbonis and Splinter Adam, again, not for now, but you can be Mekayim the mitzvah, but it's lo b'shrei musa, and you're taking away from the mitzvah. That's Baltigra. So that's a pretty big downside. Your body, you know, and I, why do we do it? Okay, I say, don't hello, so how are we going to explain it? But that's the Beis Halevi himself that's printed in his own chuvas. In any event, I'm sorry I went a little over, but I just wanted to give this kind of an overview that people should see what the issues are. And again, that people have their own postcards becoming, you know, they're more and more G'dolei Torah and Talmidei Chacham who are, you know, who have thought about this further, and Bezer Hashem will continue. And I thank everyone for listening. I guess we'll have the next part of the presentation. If you want to ask me questions, I don't know, maybe I think we'll go to the next part of the presentation. Very good. Thank you very much. You're welcome to keep your sheets or not. Okay.